Church at this time. And you folks out here in the audience may turn in your Bibles. Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know and uphold the fact that God, through His Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, has given us three commands that sum up everything in the Scriptures, that we are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ into all the world. And that's what we're doing even now as we're here worshiping Him in word right now. We are also out here on the internet for all of you who would come to feed upon that word, which is the meat of Jesus Christ Himself. Today, we are continuing in our sermon series, The Family of God, and this is part three. For the being part of the family of God changes our identity. And that is something that I want us to understand from the book of John in the 15th chapter. So let us begin. For thus saith the word of the Lord. In verse number 1, chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my command, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you. This I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sin. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word that was written in their law. They hated me without a cause. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. Blessed be the word of the Lord to our immortal souls. Can I get an amen? As we look at this word and come to an understanding of what it means to be part of the family of God, I want us to understand Jesus here is talking about the ingrafting, correct? He's talking about the ingrafting, where you take a wild branch off of a wild grape and you graft it onto a root and a vine. And from that root and vine, which is a vine of good nature, that wild branch takes on itself those natures. And I want us to understand that the vine truly is a wonderful representation of our Trinity. Because we have the root, which who is the root? God the Father. Can I get an amen? And we have the vine, who brings from the Father that which we need that we may bear fruit. And the vine represents Jesus, as he says, he is the vine. And we also have the sap, because from the root through the branch, or through the vine to the branch, we have the Holy Spirit who comes to us to bring us that life-giving flow. It is a beautiful picture of the Trinity and how it works in our lives. And when we are engrafted into it, we can no longer be that same wild grape out here doing what wild grapes do. We are going to become a part of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we will have our identity changed, for we will no longer be that wild grape, but yet we shall remain to have some of those characteristics. What am I talking about there? What I'm talking about is the giftedness that God has given you from birth. The very things He created you with were meant to come into the kingdom as you were meant to come into the kingdom. And it is that ingrafting here that Jesus is talking about. It's about the Holy Spirit here that he is speaking of. It is about how then we are to live, because it changes our identity. We are no longer worried about just ourselves. How much of our world is worried about itself? Is that not what we see happening in the world today, even in families, where we don't operate as a family anymore? We don't operate as a unit. We don't think about how what we do affects someone else in our very own family. I can remember growing up, and my dad used to say to me growing up, and I never understood it until I got older and was able to understand. If you're a kid and you do something stupid, who does it look bad upon? Your parents. Your parents. Because the world looks at you and says, you're a kid. But what kind of parents would let their kids do something like this? Now, as we get a little bit older and a little bit more mature, and we understand, and this is where God says we come into our own accountability, when you understand good and evil, now who's responsible? You are. But it still plays a reflect back on the family. And we need to remember that if we're in Christ Jesus, it doesn't just reflect upon our parents, it reflects upon God. And is that who God is? No. Remember, if it's a bad branch, what does the gardener do to the branch? He cuts it off, and it will wither, and it is gathered up and burnt. We need to understand God is truly pointing a picture here that He changes our identity. And if we are not willing to allow His power to work through us to change us, He's going to cut it off. He's going to cut it off. Because He will not have anything that does not reflect His own self, because He is God and He is holy, and He will remain so. We need to understand that Jesus here is telling us that if we're truly going to have our identity changed, we're not going to worry about ourselves all the time. We're going to be committed to one another. For greater love hath no one than this, that one lay down his life for a friend. That is a change from this world. This world is all about me, myself, and I. I think it's amazing. We were talking, and many of you see it. How many times do you see a family go into a restaurant and they're sitting at a table and they should be talking to each other, and each one of them has their cell phone out doing this? Food's on the table, and everybody around the table is on their cell phones. Now, what I think is hilarious is when I find out halfway through the day or halfway through the time I'm there that two of them were talking across the table to each other while they were texting. It's like, what? It is what we have become. And we need to understand, Satan wants that to happen. Satan wants us to come inward. He wants us to think on ourselves. He wants us to deal with I, which becomes idolatry. Okay? We cannot have fruitfulness if all we have is idolatry. It stops. It's dead. There is no fruit in that. And God's going to cut the branch off. Guys, you had no idea. Neither did I, because I wasn't there last month. I had no idea what you were going to be teaching on, Brother Dennis. But do you see how it falls right into where I am? God is in the house. Can I get an amen, church? The question is, are we? And I pray the answer is yes, because that means you're hearing. What does it mean to hear, differentiating from listening? When we hear, we act upon it. When we listen, it goes in this side and out that side. Does anybody not, our filter's missing in the center that kind of stops it, catches it, whatever you want to call it, okay? And we need to understand, I don't want you listening. God doesn't want you listening. God wants you hearing. Let him who has eyes see, and him who has ears, amen. So we need to understand, God is telling us he's going to change our identity. We are no longer that wild grape. We are now a pruned, grafted, we are even better than we were, grape. Because in God, all things are possible. He's going to take you who used to be a wild nut, and you're going to bear good fruit of grapes unto God. How did he do that? Because that's the impossibility of God. Can I get an amen? He uses what he has created, and it bringeth forth the good work of our lives in Christ Jesus. So what do we know? What do we understand? In the family, there is a place of identity. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Titus. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Titus. In the book of Titus, I want you to look up chapter 2. In chapter 2, we're going to begin in verse 1. For thus saith the word of the Lord, from the second chapter of the book of Titus, in the first verse. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible in all things. Show yourself to be an example of God's of good deeds with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior for every respect. For the grace of God has appeared I lost my spot. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope of the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. In those words, do you see what I just said is what I just said? As I was explaining to you, it looks back on from whence we come. And when we look at what Christ is telling us here, we are to be examples of God in our world. Why? Because it is to look good upon God. We are adorned by God. What does that mean? Ladies, you know what adornment is. How many of you are wearing earrings today? How many of you are wearing a necklace or a piece of jewelry, something? It's an adornment. It's to look nice, right? You don't wear ugly things, do we? How weird would that be? But yet, we expect God to wear all our blemishes and say it's okay. No, it doesn't work that way. We need to be of sound mind, of sound doctrine. We need to remember that we have come into a different identity. And that identity is the purity and prosperity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? And we must reflect that. That means we will be changed. That means we will be changed. If you know anything about grafting into fruit trees or grapevines or even roses, I can graft. I'm going to use the rose as an example. I can graft a branch from a yellow rose onto a red rose. Is it going to change the color of that branch, the roses that it produces? Will it begin producing red roses? Nobody wants to answer me. Da-na-na-na, da-na-na, da-na-na-na. Anyway. No, it will produce yellow roses on a red bush. But guess what it will do to that yellow rose? And this is amazing. It'll change the fragrance. It will no longer have the fragrance of its mother bush. It will now take on the fragrance of the red rose. And it's the same with a fruit tree. I can graft a different fruit onto, I can graft a red apple onto a golden delicious. How many of you love red delicious apples? I don't care for them. They're crunchy and they look pretty, and that's what they sell them for. They're crunchy and they look pretty, but they don't have any flavor. But a golden delicious has flavor. So we graft on there, and guess what we get? We get a red apple that has a little bit of yellow on it and a whole different flavor. And that's where we get our other fruits. That's where all these weird trees come from. You know, when I grew up, we had stamen, wine sap, red delicious, gold delicious. Now we've got sunjai, honeydew, berry boo-boo, all these different things out there. And it's like, where did they all come from? Well, they must have had these in Europe. No. That was from the grafting. Because it takes on the characteristics of the root and the trunk out to the limb. And as we see that and understand, this is what God's doing in us. He is taking us innately how He has created us, each and every one of us, according to the gifts that He has given us and prepared in us. And then He adds Himself to the mix. And in that, we begin to produce good fruit rather than selfish fruit. We produce unto the likeness of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Our identity changes. So then it becomes one of the fact that God wants us to know who we are. Last week I spoke to you everything that God says who we are. How many of you were encouraged by that word last week? Oh, my heavens, I know I was. But then I came to today and it's like, okay, I know where I need to take you. This is who God says you are. Are you going to act like that person? Are you going to be that person? Are you going to allow that word that is coming up through you to change you, to make your identity true unto the Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ? Because that's where we all want to be. That's where we find purpose. That's where we find hope. That's where we find strength. That's where we find joy. That's where we find peace. Because in and of ourselves, we can bring none of these things, but God is the fulfillment of them all. So that is where God wants us to understand who we are. If you were asked who you are, what would you write down? How many of us would think about writing down things that would make a difference in our life, such as the family that I belong to, those who are around me, the name that I wear, the talents that I have, or the precepts that you live by? Would you write those things down? Many of us know. Because those aren't the things that we think on, but those are the things that God wants us to think on. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 1 through 11 from the 5th chapter of 1 Peter. In the first verse, we read these words. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but providing to be an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Can I get an amen? Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. And the church says, and amen. Brothers and sisters, yes, this is talking to elders, okay? But it reflects down. This is one of the things we just talked about in our men's group. It starts at the pinnacle with God, and then it comes down to us. We have our responsibilities, and then we trickle it down to those who are below us. But if the examples before you aren't good examples, what are you going to do? You're going to imitate them, because that's what you're going to see as being proper. You know, I used to love it. When I was growing up, how many of you heard this comment? Don't do what I say, don't do what I do, do what I say. I'm your mother. My mom said that to me more times than not. Don't do what I do what I say. Wait a minute. Even a kid knows that's wrong. But don't you dare sass your mother. And God says, be holy, for I am holy. That's a high calling, isn't it? How many of you know how to be holy? Yeah, I got to bring mine down because I'm still learning it. I was away over the weekend and somebody said something to me. They said, let me learn you something. I said, man, you are Pennsylvania Dutch. But we all know what that means, doesn't it? Let me learn you something. And that's what God's doing. This life is where we learn and prepare for the millennium unto the eternity. Do you understand that? We only get a few years to get it right here. How are you doing on all that? It's a tough road, isn't it? How many of you thought high school was tough? I'll guarantee you, once you get out of high school and the real stuff starts, it gets tougher. It don't get easier, because the older you get, the less this thing likes to cooperate. You ain't fighting everybody else. You're fighting this thing. What's that? The flesh. In every way. Because it is decaying. It is dying. But praise be to the God, our Lord Jesus the Christ. In us, we can bear good fruit unto all eternity that will not last, but that will be everlasting unto His name and the glory therein. Can I get an amen? But we have to be changed by that which is coming up through us. We need to understand. God has said to us, He wants us to realize that we are all sons. We are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We are to be as Christ to the world. Can I get an amen? That means you cannot be you anymore. So the next time I hear one of you complaining, I'm going to look at you and say, are you Jesus right now? Does that sound fair? And the next time you hear me complaining, you better say, are you being Jesus right now? There you go. What's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. Can I get an amen, brothers and sisters? And we need to be encouraging one another. That's not a discouragement. That's an encouragement. To realize, hey, we are to rise above this stuff. Can I get an amen? You know, you don't live in the manure. You use it to grow. It pushes forth the fruit. That comes up out of it. We need to remember that we are not in it, but we are to rise above it. But the world wants to keep us down in it, doesn't it? The world wants us to understand its way of thinking. And that's where we have to be different. That's where I want you to think about the reality that in the family of God, and this flows right out of changing our identity, in the family of God, there has to be forgiveness. Can I get an amen, church? There has to be forgiveness. Jesus is willing to forgive every one of us who repents in the family and turns away from what we were doing. That is one of the things that I hate about some of these pastors who present the gospel and simply say, all you have to do is pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart. That's wrong. I'm going to tell you right now, you need to repent. That's number one. Now you need to ask Jesus to come in and be king of your life, because you've got to get the old spirit out before the new spirit can come in. Can I get an amen? Am I speaking truth or no? We have got to understand, you must repent, and in that repenting, turn to Christ and He will forgive you. And it's in that forgiveness that we stand. For from the book of Matthew on the screen, you will see these words. Then Peter came and said to Him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 77 times. Or up to 70 times seven. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. I got my back to it and I could realize what it said. Boy, that's weird. We need to understand what Jesus talking about there. Is He literally saying we're supposed to take 70 and times it by 7? That would be 490. So we're going to keep track, right? We're going to count 490 times, and then we don't have to forgive them no more. No, that's not what He's talking about. Just as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus and continues to forgive us in Christ Jesus, so too must we forgive those who have sinned against us. We say it all the time, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, don't we? How many of us forgive our debtors and then we go right back and remember? And we hold it against them. Come on. What does the Scriptures tell us from Matthew 6 and 14? For if you forgive others of their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And from 15. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. We need to understand, we can no longer be as the world, holding something against somebody forever. We have got to let it go. and let them go because they get to move on. Now, does that mean we allow them to continue doing the same thing to us over and over and over again? No, because we have the wherewithal to move away from that situation. Do you understand what I'm saying? It isn't that we don't forgive them, but we no longer put ourselves in that situation, because when we do, now we're enabling someone to continue a bad way of life. We forgive them, but then we must move on from that. If they turn and they walk with us, praise God, we have won our brother in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? But if they continue walking in that direction, then we need to leave. What did Jesus say? If you are welcome into the house, let your spirit of peace remain on the house. But if you are not welcomed on the house, call back the spirit of peace, shake the dust off of your feet, and go. He didn't say stand there and fight with them. We're to be brothers and sisters of peace, as much as it is possible unto us. Is that not what the word says? Now, in the world, when the world keeps coming at you and at you and at you, now we're going to put on the full armor of God. Because now it's time to take and do battle. Because now they are coming after me. They're not just sinning. They're literally coming after me. I will forgive them for what they're doing, for we fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against what? Powers and principalities. That's the first two portions, powers and principalities. We need to remember that people out there are affected by all kinds of evil. Can I ask the church this question? How many of you are affected by evil? Every hand ought to be in the air, because that is the truth. We live in this world and we are still of this flesh, and we will struggle against it until our dying day, and then we'll no longer struggle. Can I get an amen? If we are in Christ Jesus. If you're not in Christ Jesus, you thought this was hell, just wait. Because there's one coming that you will never, ever leave. And that's why we've got to get it right here on this side. We want to work in that progressive sanctification, coming unto the place of the glory of God and within the power of God. Can I get an amen? For when we forgive others, so too will we be forgiven. And what I need to tell you right now is within the family of God, we have got to stop holding things against one another in the church. How many times have I heard as a pastor, well, I don't go to church anymore because, you know, do you know what those people did to me? Do you know what you did to those people? Well, I've never done anything wrong. Whoa! You never done anything wrong. Number one, how many of us can say the word never at any time? There's only one being that can say the word never or ever. And that is our triune God. Because when He says never, it is never. And when He says ever, it is ever. We, not so much. And we need to remember that. Because every time you point a finger at somebody, how many are pointing back at you? So from now on, everybody needs to point like this, right? I'm getting my point across to all five of them. No. We need to realize just as much, and that's what that prayer truly means, just as much as we need forgiveness, so too do we need to give forgiveness. Because that's truly the only way we receive it. Who gets hurt by walking in unforgiveness? We do. It causes a bitter root to grow up. And that bitter root will make you angry. That bitter root will cause you distress. It will literally become a cancer in your own life. And God says, no, there has to be, because you are no longer. Did I not forgive all of you, all of your sins? And if you're in me, you have to be like me. You have to change identity. Get out of the world. Get into me. And become the fragrance of Jesus Christ. Take on that good tasting nature. Do you ever notice how the word says that we are to taste the word of the Lord? That it is sweet as to honey from the comb. That's who we're supposed to be. Did you ever notice also that it says to those who are perishing, we are the fragrance of death, but to those who are coming unto the life, we are the fragrance of life itself. That's taking on the nature of God. That is taking on that identity that I spoke of, and it's understanding that truth. My last point today is the simple fact that in the family of God, problems are worked out. How many of us are willing to just throw up our hands and say, yep, that's it, I'm done. I can tell you right now, out of this group I'm looking at in front of me, and I'm telling on them, you all get to know, I'm telling on them. I can probably look at five of you who have told me at some point in time, I'm done. And yet, here you are. I praise Jesus for it. I just wish you'd stop saying, I'm done. I'm still in the oven baking, people. I won't get out of the oven until Jesus pulls me out of the oven and I get to be in heaven. That's where I'll be the cake. But while I'm here, I'm still in the oven. Didn't we just sing the song here that God is purging us? He is refining our gold. He's the only one who is the same yesterday, today, and always. We're the ones who have to change. We have to take on this identity and move therein because we need to work it out. In the book of Acts, in chapter 6, something new had to happen. There was a problem. How many of you know that the New Testament is nothing more than a report of all the problems the church had in the first couple of years? Do y'all realize that? How many of you realize the Old Testament is nothing but the problems that the people had in the Old Testament and everything God had to correct? Can I get an amen? We all need to understand God was dealing with problem children. How many of us can say, I are one? That's why I said, man, if you're out there and you think the church is full of hypocrites, man, come on in, you will be in good company. Because ain't no one in this place perfect, but we worship a God who is. Can I get an amen? And He is changing our day. He has changed our zip code already, but we need to now change our mailing address. Can I get an amen? Because that means our identity lies somewhere else. And that's where we need to walk. We need to see that in the book of Acts there was a problem. The women and the widows weren't being served. So what did the church do? They yelled at everybody and said, well, you just got to go out there and do that. No, the elders said, hey, look, we're so busy. We're ministering the word. We're doing this. We need to do something new. So they said, choose from among you 7 men and we'll appoint them. They got to be men filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll appoint them to be deacons, and they will serve. They will make sure that the things in the church get done. So they made deacons, and the church moved on. It grew. Did you ever notice there were no deacons in the Old Testament? Or did you also notice there were no elders in the Old Testament? Now, wait a minute, Pastor. You said God's the same yesterday, today, and always. Yeah, but God couldn't give us all revelation at the beginning because we'd have never been able to understand it or do it all. He had to give it to us a little bit at a time. And He was also growing up the church, which meant what? It was moving from Israel into the Gentiles. So we needed to create the church so that the church can function outside of Israel, which was supposed to be functioning under the hierarchy of the priesthood. Can I get an amen? How well were they doing? How well are they doing now? But we need to take on those attributes where we will work out the problems in a biblical manner. In chapter 15, circumcision became the problem. Oh, well, we got all these Gentiles believing. Now we got to go and cut the foreskin off and they need to become, you know, just like us Jews. What did the apostles say? The apostles looked at that and said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. In their uncircumcision of the flesh, did not the Holy Spirit pour out upon them? And they began to speak in tongues and do miracles and all this stuff, and the church grew. Who are we to tell them they need to take something in their flesh when they've already got a circumcision of their hearts, which Moses spoke about way back at the beginning? He said, I circumcise you in the flesh, but there is one to come who is going to circumcise you in your hearts. And ladies, aren't you glad Because that means you can go into ministry too, because your hearts can be circumcised in the same way. You're no longer circumcised through your father. You yourself are circumcised in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen from the ladies? We all need to understand God is moving this stuff on a personal level. He is working it out. No problem is too big for our God, but we need to be willing to see it. Well, it's not, we didn't sing those songs when I was a kid. Well, when you were a kid, that was the past. Now you're old and you're about to die, so we're going to sing a new song. Did he just say that? Yes, he did. Because I don't care what the practice is, as long as the message and method of salvation never changes. Can I get an amen? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we sit here, if we had to go back to the way the ancient church sang, that means we would have to go back to the Hebrew songs and we would all be singing Hebrew. Can any of you do that? Well, let's move it up a little bit. How about if we sing a Gregorian chant? Oh, no, I don't. Well, okay, and how about a harpsichord? Dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink. No, that ain't going to work. We're going to move. We're going to have to see progress. The old is gone. The new has come. Is that not what it says? Now, that doesn't mean we buy into the alphabet soup stuff. Because wrong is wrong is wrong. Can I get an amen? But the things that we can move in, guess what? We have the freedom to do it. Because God says you got to solve those problems. You got to work with those problems. You got to work forward. Yeah, but the carpet was red for the last 50 years. I don't care. And it hasn't been red for 50 years. Have you seen the sun fading on it? Over here it's white, over there it's pink, over there it's mauve. Come on. And you know what I'm getting at here, right, folks? Because I'm looking at every aspect of life. I'm looking at all the stuff. I'm using church idioms to get us to see what I'm talking about. There are going to be people who are going to come in here and they're going to be 12 years old. We need to reach a 12-year-old. How do you reach a 12-year-old? Not the same way you reach a 60-year-old. Because they have different expectations. We've got to meet them where they are to get them to where God wants them to be. Can I get an amen? But that means we also have to change. And God is going to change those problems within our lives. Look on your screen here from Matthew 12, verse 25. And knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself will not stand. When you and I think about what is happening in our world, we have this world making families come against one another and dividing. We need to be a people who are willing to see that the past, the present, and the future must all dwell together in one plan of common accord. What was is gone. What is where we are. And what is yet to come, we don't know, but we need to be moving towards it. How many of you know your pastor's retiring in a couple of years? I'm 61 this year. I ain't going to be around forever. I'd like to be here till the rapture. And I've asked the Lord to let me here to 120. I know that ain't going to happen. I'm too ornery. Did too much dumb stuff in my life. So I know I ain't going to make it that far. But I know I'm going to make it to the rapture. But my reality is, I'm planning for my retirement. When I hit 67, somewhere around 67 to 70, I'm going to retire. How many of you are planning for my retirement? Well, what do we have to plan for your retirement for, Pastor? Because you need a new pastor. Come on. Things are going to change. That means, okay, a couple years from now, we need to start thinking about what we're looking for in a pastor and you know, how's this going to... Yeah, but we don't want to offend Pastor Rich. You aren't offending me. You're doing your job. But boy, don't we take offense when somebody seems to step just a little bit out of line. Well, that's not the way I do it. Well, wait a minute. Didn't you ask me to do this? Well, yes, but you need to do it the way I do it. Book, chapter, and verse, please. We need to understand there is a way that is right, and we are to be found in it. What is that way? The way of Christ. Amen? He is the truth, the life, and the way. We need to be found in that way, where we are each utilizing our gifts to the greatest gift of our, to the greatest giving of our abilities. And when we find ourselves doing that, we will see that problems within our lives and within our church will work out. Because when we are divided against one another, we can't stand. How many families out there right now can't stand each other? You know, I grew up, my mother had a family of 15 children. And for years, they didn't talk. It wasn't until Grandma and Grandpa were dead and about 8 of the children died that one of my aunts said, enough. We need to get together and have a family reunion and heal this thing before it's too late. And every year since then, how about it, honey? Third weekend in August and it's on a Sunday, I can never go because it's at 1 o'clock. Until I get there, they're already, or it's 12 o'clock, they're already breaking up because they only do it for 3 hours. They get together, have a wonderful picnic, share a meal, love on each other for about 3 hours. So I don't get to go because I'm in church. But I know they're there, so I pray for them. And hearts have been healed. Cousins have gotten to know each other. And I talk with they know I can't be there. And you know, I get more correspondence from my cousins now than I ever did. Rich, pray for us. Wish you were here. Love to have you pray. And I always send back, anybody can pray. We need to understand. We need to be walking in that forgiveness. We need to be changed by forgiveness. We need to be working out the problems that come into our lives. From Galatians 5 and 15, it tells us, sorry, guys. They shut me down. Now they ain't bringing me back. Oh, there it is. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. What does that mean? Exactly what it says. We literally drive people out of the church because of our pettiness. It's got to stop. We need to understand that's what the world's doing to us. The world wants us to come apart. Oh, it's those people. No, it's the world coming at you. It is the darkness coming in, letting you bit by bit be exposed to that darkness, which creates a hardening of heart. Do you understand that? We are to guard that against one another. We are to encourage one another as long as it is today. Did you remember me reading that scripture last week? We need to understand that where we are is a different place than this world. And the world is going to come at us because it wants to divide us. We cannot allow that. We have to stand firm in our faith. We must stick together because as the day approaches, it's going to increase. What's going to increase? The darkness. And it is going to pull people away. Why? Because their hearts have grown cold. Am I quoting the scriptures? You better believe I am. We need to understand we're in that day where we need to be bringing people into the church. Those people out there, as we found out today a little bit too, that we're on our prayer walks and they say, we're okay. Yep, we're good. We're good. We need, as it was told to me, we need to go move into that neighborhood, y'all, so we can all get good. How many of you want to get good? Yeah, we need to go move into that. No, we're in the right neighborhood. We are in the neighborhood of Jesus Christ. We are in the family of God. And from here, I can say, God is good. And all the time. And as a partaker of that, all that goodness is mine. Can I get an amen? All that goodness is yours. Can I get an amen? So it is good. In fact, we sing the song, it is well with my soul. Because that is the Christ that we serve. Our next and last piece of sermon comes from Thessalonians. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Do you see that? Not good for me, good for one another and for all people. That means you got to take yourself out of the equation, doesn't it? That means I got to take my stuff out of the equation and I've got to put on Jesus. That means I got to become more like Him. I need to allow from the Father through the Son into the branch to bear the good fruit, the will of the Holy Spirit to come over and upon and in and through and out of me. Because as we do that, we will be changed. Our identity will be fully changed. And we truly will be sons and daughters of the Most High God. Brothers and sisters, this is going to be a hard work. This is going to be a work that's going to take time. This is going to be, and it's not worth throwing out. I'm going to tell you all that right now. Okay? Some of the best work takes a lifetime. I want you to think about that. Some of the best work takes a lifetime. My great-grandmother never saw me become a pastor, but she prayed until the day she died for me. And now she's in glory, and I pray she knows where I am. You know, everybody says, oh, well, yeah, they're in heaven. They know that. No, they don't. They have no idea what's going on down here. If they did, it would be hell. Remember, we are separated from them. And they from us. Because if they would see what's happening down here to all of us, how grieved do you think their spirits would be? So we need to remember, they don't know, but they trusted God. Do we trust God in what we are here in the land of the living? Let us be those men and women who are changed by the identity of Christ flowing in and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may become children of God. For we are the family of God, and in the family of God, we have the strength to do all things. Can I get an amen, church? But we've got to give up the things of the world, the things of darkness which are going to come against us, and we need to gather once again to the ecclesia. And from there, into our families. From there, into our communities. Because this is where we gain the strength to go back home and forgive the brother who has sinned against us. How many times? As many as it takes. And we need to work it out. How many of us are going to start working it out from now on? That means if you have a brother or sister who has done something wrong, you don't complain to the pastor. You don't complain to everybody else. You go to that brother or sister and you work it out in love. And it also means that each and every one of us needs to be willing to see the future from where we are, knowing things are going to change, but I don't have to hold on to it so tightly as to not let it go for the good of all peoples. Can I get an amen, church? With that, let us go to prayer. Father God, we thank You so much for the day that You have given us in this day in which we live. For Lord God, we are seeing the working out of the things coming into the book of Revelation as we hear the rumblings and we see the wars and we see the pestilence and we understand the darkness that is pervading. Lord, let us be the light of Christ, that we may be the church of the living God, the family of God, children of God, heirs of promise, filled with power, unending unto all time, that this world cannot speak a word into our lives, but we can speak life out of ours. That the glory of Jesus Christ would be known to all, and to all glory be His name given. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.